Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Come on, Junior. We are family. We together forever. Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Chinee Ogwumike, presently in Los Angeles. Mike Golic Jr., presently in South Bend, Indiana, just stoking up those college days. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us via the Goodyear Hotline. Now, we've got another great game too tonight, right now, at 8:30 p.m. on ESPN Radio here. Doris Burke, Mark Jones on the call. My gosh, like, I'm going to have my TV on, and then I'm going to have to, like, check into ESPN Radio, because I love the GOAT Doris Burke and Mark Jones with all of his, like, fun little, he brings in a lot of the, what we say, the slang, what today's kids say, and he's got, like, that diamond earring. I don't know if you've noticed it, Junior. Like, that earring is always blinging when he's calling games. Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah. Mark, listen, Mark looks way cooler and sounds way better doing what he does than almost any of us here. So you are getting an absolute premium experience on ESPN Radio, like you always do. Just a few great faces. We get to talk to John Barry and Mark Kestisher and our crew on there all the time. But it's nice to get the TV folks over here on the radio side here and let them explore in our our sandbox a little bit. That's the
yes.
thing.
Yeah. Yeah, you were going to say, like, place. I forgot what it is called. It's play bin. Like, when kids
like you
play,
said, like, playground. I'm hanging playground. Around back in college.
Playground.
Yeah, that's you
it.
Know what? I am back around college right now, Chinee, so the brain is functioning a little bit slower. Like, I literally had to go dig up in a closet here. I found a shirt I hadn't worn since 2012. So it's a lot going on here, and so my brain's a little slower today.
It's all good. I got you covered, okay? So basically, Clippers, Suns, Game 2, Doris Burke, Mark Jones. You know what it is. Who, Mark Jones? A lot to get to today. We will talk to Mark Jones in about 30 minutes. But a lot of news, you know, not in the world of the NBA, but also in football. So Junior, first I want to say your tweet was really special. I was on the timeline for obvious reasons quite a bit the last few days, unfortunately. But I saw your tweet that came with the news that had a huge impact on the sports world. Carl Nassib, defensive end for the Las Vegas Raiders, became the first active NFL athlete to come out as gay. Many within the sports world showed their support, you know, including Warren Moon, who tweeted, really proud of Carl Nassib, and we're actively trying to reach him right now. The first active football player to ever do so. I played with several guys who never were comfortable enough to go public. They were great teammates and obviously very talented. As long as they helped us win and were great teammates, their sexual preference was never an issue. We live in a different time now where diversity is much more accepted. Cheers, Carl. And I hope this lets other athletes know it's okay to say who you are. Now, Junior, that's one tweet. And then you had your tweet, which highlighted probably the most important takeaway from what Carl Nassib said.
Yeah, it was what he pointed out here, because part of his announcement also came with a $100,000 donation to a great foundation that works with the LGBTQ community to help young people who are coming out. And he pointed to one of the stats that he was shown, studies that shown that all it takes is one accepting adult to decrease the risk of an LGBTQ kid attempting suicide by 40%. Whether you're a friend, a parent, a coach, or a teammate, you can be that person. And Chinee, we talk so much about this in feeling comfortable enough to be yourself in these settings, right? Like, the reason that I'm always so concerned about these things, because I grew up in a space where, like, I know people always do the thing, like the white guilt thing. Like, I grew up as a white male in this country. Like, it's a pretty easy lot in life to be yourself. There are hardships that people face, but one of those is not feeling comfortable enough to be who you are in every aspect, being a white heterosexual male in this country. And so for everyone else who has to hide a piece of who they are, it always breaks my heart, because it should be like the most basic thing that we're all allowed to do, being who you are and being so in a way that isn't hurting anybody else here and just allows you to explore the fullness of that. Chinee, you mentioned that tweet that we saw from Hall of Famer Warren Moon. He's kind enough to join us now on the Goodyear Hotline. And Warren, we appreciate you giving us some time here today after the announcement made by Carl Nassib. What struck you so much about the words he chose and just his timing on coming out as the first openly gay active NFL player?
You know, just the amount of courage that it took for him to come out publicly like that, especially in a sport as macho as football is, that you just don't see athletes, or you haven't seen an athlete in football, you know, come forward like that. You've seen it in other sports, maybe in figure skating and different things like that, but when it comes to football, that's just not something mentality that you were raised to come up in. You're taught at a very young age. You don't show pain. You don't show injury. You know, you put an aspirin on your injury and tape it down, and that's how you play the game. So, you know, for him to come forward and say that he's a gay man playing in a sport like football, it took a tremendous amount of courage, and he's the first one to do it. And I could kind of relate to it only because, you know, when I was coming up trying to be an African-American quarterback, you know, I was considered different. And I think I can relate and have a little bit more compassion, you know, for what he was going through, because he's a guy that can't really be who he wants to be. He can't be himself, and he's been discriminated against, and he's seen those discriminations out there against other people that are like him. So I can relate to that part of it as well. And, you know, I played with your dad in Houston, and we know we had some gay guys on our football team, but those guys were good teammates on our football team, and they helped us win football games, so we never had any problems with them.
We are so grateful to have you, Warren Moon, Pro Football Hall of Fame quarterback, 9-time Pro Bowler, joining us here on Chenan Golic Jr., brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead, Goodyear, more driven. And bringing that insight and relatability, and I sort of highlighted, Warren, how we all have our own versions of challenges and insecurities and anxieties, and that locker room is supposed to be that safe space, and we've seen it now evolve. In your view, how have you seen the locker room evolve to the point where Carl Nassib can actually speak his truth?
I think if players look at what's going on in our society today as a whole, you know, diversity is much more acceptable than it's ever been before. I mean, you can look back as far as Michael Sam. I don't think the NFL was ready for him as a gay man coming into the league, and it was something that was known by him coming out of college. You could see by where he was drafted. He's the SEC Player of the Year on defense, but he doesn't get drafted to, I think, the fifth or sixth round, which is crazy. And then he doesn't make an NFL football team. So at that time, I knew that the NFL still wasn't acceptable of a gay man in their openly gay man in their locker room. But even though, if you look around our league, I bet you would find two or three gay men on every football team, and that's just kind of the way society goes. So for Carl to come forward and say what he said and say who he is, I think it's a really freeing experience for him. I think it's going to make him a better football player. I think it's going to make him a better leader on his team, because it's hard to be a leader when you're not true to yourself and who you are. And now he's let everybody know who he is, and I think he can be a better leader on his football team. And I think it'll motivate other guys to come forward, knowing that it's already been done now.
Warren, I couldn't have said it better myself. I think you're right. Seeing someone go through and be the first to do something like this, and seeing the reception around the league from his peers, going to be tremendously freeing, hopefully, for a lot of people in that same situation. Warren, we'll get to talk some football with you on another date. This is far more important today to get your opinion and your insight on. We really appreciate the time and the insight here, and hopefully we will get to talk to you soon.
Thank
again.
You.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. Really appreciate it. Take care. Have a good day now.
Again, Hall of Famer Warren Moon, kind enough to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And today, I'm glad he kind of brought up, I mean, we didn't talk about it with him, but he said the same thing, is I know what it's like to not feel like the full version of myself is something that is welcome or accepted in this space, being a black man playing quarterback. Everyone in their background has a different challenge, but seeing that common ground and extending grace to other people with that insight is a pretty powerful thing.
Yeah, I think now realizing that in society, we are not defined by our differences, more by our similarities and our collective struggles and successes, right? And I think that was a perfect example of how we can put other people first and understand that we are all in this together in creating an environment that is healthy and constructive and, you know, as cliche as a championship culture, because any anxiety you have individually will affect the collective performance. And so if you're able to be free to yourself, speak your truth, and be the best version of yourself, you know, that's only going to help things moving forward, you know? And so Warren just gave us that great, you know, I want to say like uncle energy, like that sage energy to remind us that this is bigger than us.
absolutely, this is a conversation that's been long overdue and one that's finally coming up in a sport, like you said, like football, that was not always a space that was built to tolerate and built to welcome in someone like Carl Nassib, coming out now as the first openly gay active NFL player. We'll get lots more on that as we've seen the sports world react and wrap their arms around Carl in a way that's honestly tremendously reassuring to see at this point in time. Coming up next, though, we'll switch back into gear and get ready for what's going on the court tonight in the NBA. Game two, as we get ready to watch one player maybe take that leap to a stratosphere very few people get to touch. Some high praise from one of our own here on ESPN Radio and some new faces that might be entering into the NBA scene. Next, coming up on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We've got Clippers Suns tonight on ESPN Radio at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And in about 10 minutes, we will chat with one of our best and brightest on the call. But let's get down to the nitty gritty here before the game goes down in my city, or at least before my voice is completely gone.
Hey,
segment. Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogunwu, K. Mike Golic Jr. holding it down. Now, the Suns are up one game on the Clippers. There's still no Kawhi Leonard, no Paul George for the time, nor Chris Paul for the time being. Paul George will show up. He has been there this postseason. We can say that. All right, no Chris Paul. But the big winner has really been Devin Booker Jr., because Devin has just shown a whole nother level of his game and stepped into his confidence. He's really been the big winner of the postseason. We saw flashes of that in the bubble, and it's carried over here, where the Suns look really good. Shout out to the Valley Boys. Now, it's been interesting because people are trying to figure out who his player comp is. Now, we all know the inspiration lies with Kobe Bryant, the late, great Kobe Bryant, because he had a relationship with him and he modeled a lot of his game after him. If you watch the elbows, Junior, and the off blocks, the corners, that's how he gets to his spots the same way Kobe would, but he's still his own player. But Stephen A. Smith, the great Stephen A. Smith on First Take, has put out a lot of, you know, interesting points as to why Devin Booker and this Kobe comparison makes sense. And he joined Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin and asked, like, do you stand by this full comparison? And this is exactly what he said.
Allow Devin Booker to have a Western Conference Finals complete series. Like, let my man get them to the World Championship before we start saying, hey, he's the next Kobe. I'm like, he has similarities to Kobe. I like that he has the Black Mamba mentality to a degree, but I'm not going to say he's the next Kobe Bryant. Like, he has a lot more to accomplish in his career before we can even start to mention his name in the same breath as Kobe. And it's no disrespect to Devin Booker. I love Devin Booker. He's nasty, but you're doing a disservice to Devin Booker. Let him be the next great Devin Booker.
Well, Chiné, and I know the reason people always do this stuff, but I think you got to be specific in this conversation, right? Because being the next Kobe Bryant is a big thing. Like, that means a lot of different things depending on how you approach this, because as we saw by the response when Kobe Bryant passed far too soon, was he meant a lot of things to a lot of people around the world. And so I think you got to be awfully specific with this, because Devin Booker is a phenomenal basketball player and someone who we love watching this postseason. But if you're going to talk about it being the game that you're comparing, you got to state that, because again, Kobe Bryant represents too much to too many people to just throw that out there as a comparison.
Yeah, that was J. Will on the sound basically saying, hey, I'm not sure if we're going to dub him the next Kobe Bryant. And Stephen A. pretty much was like, hold on. I really love this comparison. Now, I think this is where people probably it's really hard for us to say the next Kobe, because we're still emotional about what Kobe has meant to us, Junior. But there are a lot of tendencies with the mid-range game and the way he moves and pivots with his back to the basket to get his shot off, and the spots that he attacks, and, you know, how that three-point shot is used over time just, you know, as a dagger and that type of stuff, and his ability to even get to the rim, considering, like, it's not like the 6'8", 6'9", but like the 6'5", 6'7", 6'6". And so there are a lot of comparisons that sort of align, and also it's just that, like, mentality, right? Like, we've seen a lot of players have signature performances, but what Devin has done in taking a great leap and being someone that takes that, I would say the one thing that differs is he's on a team where he knows how to spread the love in the sense that, like, Chris Paul has been a big part of their season this year. You know, Ayton has stepped up in ways that he hadn't in the past. Like, there are a lot of more pieces where Kobe for a long time has been the focal point. So I guess that's where people probably see different timelines, but a lot of the characteristics with the game is there. I'm not ready to say, like, someone is the next Kobe, but I will say that Kobe would be proud of what Devin Booker absolutely is doing.
Janae, I think that's a fair thing. And I think even comparing the basketball stuff, like you said, the similarities to the game, because we know Devin has actively tried to model those portions after Kobe Bryant. That's all fair. But when you say the next Kobe Bryant, like, Kobe Bryant, like, that mama mentality, like, the dude was a killer, right? Like, in addition to being the ultimate competitor and one of the best difficult shot makers I've ever seen on an NBA court, like, the difference between Kobe Bryant and everybody else was that snarl. Like, you felt like Kobe Bryant wanted to put you 6 feet under when you were his opponent, and Devin Booker just doesn't seem like that guy at this point yet. And that's not saying he can't develop that or that he even needs to. Like, that's not a prerequisite for greatness, but it was a definite part of Kobe's greatness. And those things all bundled together, like, those are so much the things in a basketball sense, in addition to the X's and O's stuff, that made Kobe Kobe in a way that I'm not sure anyone is going to have the ability to live up to just yet.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. The X's and O's in basketball, you can see the similarities. Now, there's so much opportunity for Devin Booker to step into that mentality. We've seen him hit tough shots, some huge shots. Now, over time, if that becomes his MO, the same way it's become sort of Damian Lillard's MO in clutch time, then we start saying, all right, this guy is different, not just for what he does on the court, but also how he approaches the game and wants to bury opponents. And that's one thing that I saw in Kevin Durant. Like, the fact that he was joking about, like, I sort of had my big toe on the line, like, I'm so mad because I thought I could end their season with a three. You know, like, that's the mentality where you're getting insight into that like, certified killer edge. And KD has it. He ran out of gas. It's so hard to replicate, which is why Kobe is one of a kind.
Yeah, it is. It's so interesting because you're right. Kevin Durant, that comes out in the basketball side of things. We've seen off the court the Twitter fingers that have gotten him in trouble in the past kind of detract from what we have seen consistently from him on the basketball court, that overwhelming confidence. And so you're right. Dubbing anyone the next blank is always going to be met with resistance. But we know for a lot of reasons that next Kobe Bryant comment is always going to make people feel some type of way. But whether you want to compare him to Kobe or not, Devin Booker is going to be leading the Phoenix Suns again without Chris Paul as his running mate in that backcourt. How far can this Suns outfit go without one of their leaders? We'll ask someone who's on the call next when we talk to Mark Jones here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Ooh, this is the energy when you've got a game, because we do have a game tonight, but first we will keep that same energy, folks, with one of our favorite snacks. Okay, not me, all right? A real snack. That'll be in about 10 minutes. It's Janae Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Your snack too. Mike Golic Jr., Janae Ogwumike. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotlines. Now, the game tonight. Oh, my goodness. Clippers Suns game two. And on the call tonight at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time right here on ESPN Radio will be the one and only Mark Jones, who you see all the time covering our NBA games on ESPN. First and foremost, hey, Mark.
Hey, what's going on? Hoop, Mark Jones. Hey, Sinead. Hey.
You know I had
hey,
to go
Mike,
there.
It's all good out here. Hey, it's cooled off to 108 in the shade here, so I'm grateful for that right now out here in Phoenix.
Ooh, my goodness. Oh, wow. My goodness. Good luck to you, and shout out to the AC. But Mark, I would love to know, just on a personal level, because we have so much fun calling the celebrity games each and every year, and I've got to know you on a personal level. How is the difference in prepping for, you know, the games during the season, and also like a heightened playoff game like you're doing now?
Wow, there's a couple of things at work here with me. Just you know, not a regular season game; it's a playoff game. It's a conference final game. Everything becomes much more microscopic as opposed to macroscopic, taking a broad brush at things, and at the same time being mindful that there are still people listening and or watching for the first time. So you tell your good stories, you document the game, and, you know, going between, for me personally, Shanae, television versus radio is a big difference too, because, you know, the pictures are so powerful on their own. They speak for themselves a lot of time. It's a different type of call and narration in radio versus television. On the radio, it's, hey, Booker brings it across the midcourt line, right wing entry pass down on the block to Ayton. Ayton kicks it out to 15 feet away for Bridges. You know, it's a lot more descriptive, a lot more heavy work in terms of just verbiage for the calls. So that's just a part of it, but it's all fun. It's all good.
Well, Mark, we know one of the names that you're not going to have to worry about in those descriptors, at least for tonight, is going to be Chris Paul for the Phoenix Suns here. How difficult is it to kind of get your arms around this situation? Because I don't feel like we've gotten a lot of information on Chris Paul, where he's at in the protocol, and when we can see him back out here.
Yeah, that's just the way it's been. It's really kind of, Mike, symbolic of the whole year and what these teams have kind of quietly gone through, unbeknownst to a lot of the public out there. You know, we just take it in the sense that he's not going to play, and we look at who's playing. We talk about the strategies and the concepts and the tactics that are involved without Chris Paul, knowing at least for tonight he won't be playing. But given that, I think it's a great time to kind of talk about what a masterful coaching job Monty Williams has done this year in putting together this team and building this team in such a way that they can withstand the loss of, I think, the guy that should have been the MVP this year, Chris Paul. His presence, though, his fingerprints on this team are everywhere, especially when you look at the play of a guy like Devin Booker, and especially when you look at the guy DeAndre Ayton in the middle. They have the remnants, the vestiges of Chris Paul's presence still very much, even though he's not playing here tonight. And a shout out to James Jones too, won Executive of the Year. There was a great scene that I don't know if we showed it on television or not the other year, but at last couple of days. But he was awarded his Executive of the Year award by Robert Sarver, the owner, and his three kids gave him a customized jersey that said Executive of the Year on it, and it was really a great moment from a guy that, as a builder, has gone under the radar. And I think it's you know, in this day and age, guys, in when you have a black general manager or a black head coach that have their team just three wins away from the NBA Finals, it's a great thing. It's a fantastic story.
This is why we're always on the same page, okay? I was like, shout out to Monty, and also shout out to James Jones, Mark Jones. Mark Jones joining us here on ESPN Radio. Janae Golick Jr. talking Clippers Suns tonight, 8:30 p.m. right here on ESPN Radio. He'll be on the call. Now, you mentioned the impact and also how so many people in different roles for Phoenix have stepped up without Chris Paul for the time being. Also, on the other side, no Kawhi Leonard. What do the Clippers need to do to even up the series?
Well, there's a couple things. Offensively, they need a little bit more balanced scoring. You know, they only had three players in double-figure scoring last game. Paul George had 34. Reggie Jackson continues to shine in the postseason. He had 24, and they got some found money. They found some loot on the street in DeMarcus Cousins with his early first half play. He ended up with 11 points. But outside of that, nobody else. Morris Sr. is playing with a sore knee. He only had 6 points. Batum only had five. They need more guys to be involved at the offensive end. And Paul George, specifically him, I think you're going to see him drive the ball into the paint a little bit more and try and make things happen in the mid-range as opposed to just threes and just things at the rim. Defensively, the Clippers are going to have to do a better job with their double-teaming of Devin Booker. He was able to do a fantastic job at slicing up their fires. Fire is the Clippers call for when they double-team or blitz Booker coming off those picks. They were blitzing him, especially late in the shot clock. And I talked earlier about Chris Paul's impact on this team. His impact directly shows in Devin Booker's ability to read games now, and he was finding release valves in Ayton and wing players for great plays that ended up in buckets a lot of times. So, you know, they're going to have to do the Clippers a better job of containing and selecting when they actually double-team and blitz Devin Booker in those half-court situations.
Chenan Gould Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to our ESPN play-by-play announcer Mark Jones on the Goodyear Hotline. And you mentioned the adjustments that the Clippers are going to have to make, but one of the things they've been able to count on is Paul George in this postseason. We know his reputation coming into this, Mark, so whether it's people you've talked to or what you've seen through this postseason run so far, what's looked different about Paul George and allowed him to go and affect the game the way he has?
Man, he's just been in a fantastic attack mode. And, you know, Paul George didn't play his best basketball. I think even he would agree to tell you that last year in the bubble when they needed some big performances from him in that series against Denver. But, you know, to slander a guy, as much slander and as much disrespect as he's received this year, I think was unfair and unwarranted and unjustified, because this guy's a big-time player. I mean, you look at what he does at both ends of the floor, not just offensively, which is what's really getting a lot of the attention right now. I mean, he's averaging 33 points on 24 shots in the last three games without Kawhi and carrying this team. He's always been a guy that's been able to do that. Paul George is going to put up numbers tonight. It's just a matter of who comes along with him. And at the other end, you know, he'll do a decent job defensively for you as well. So, you know, I think that Paul George has reclaimed whatever marginal status he may have lost amongst a narrative on social media that I think was undeserved in the first place.
Mark, we don't have much time left, okay? But this is the biggest question of tonight.
Hit me, hit me.
What strategy are you going to use to beat the Heat? 108 in the shade? Like, what? Hey. How are you going to do it?
The thing is, listen, I live in Miami, right? And people out here in Phoenix like to say, oh, you're from Miami. The Heat, you know, it's different here. I'm like, listen, it's like sticking your head in an oven out here, man. It's like 108, like I said. My deal is shorts when I can wear them and you know, good cologne.
There you go.
There we see, that is,
I got
that
my
is
Joe
a
Malone,
veteran
I got my Joe Malone cologne on, you know.
Hydrate,
you know what?
Okay?
Mark Jones doesn't got to get ready, because he stays ready with all of that. And I can tell you from big guy experience, Mark, two words that no one should be ashamed of: sweat towel, if need be. I'm not saying, but
hey,
I'm just saying.
Hey, that's
so.
Over my shoulder, Mike. That's in my bag, just in case. Just in case.
Like I say, you guys can catch so Mark Jones and all these veteran tips alongside Doris Burke on ESPN Radio for Call of Game 2, Clippers and Suns tonight, covered starting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Mark, we appreciate you. Beat the Heat.
Thanks,
and enjoy,
Mark,
the game tonight. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Thanks a lot, Mike and Sinead. Take care.
Awesome stuff. Again, you can check that game out, covered starting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and at 9 o'clock Eastern on ESPN. It's Chinee Agumake fully cheesing right now.
He's so cute. Oh, get a portable fan.
Honestly, portable fan. Telling you, there's no shame in the sweat towel. I have seen a lot of guys forsake fashion, forsake everything else. Sometimes it has got to be all about function, and we got to leave form behind in places where it is much cooler and we are a lot less sweaty. Coming up next, though, we've been talking all day about Dan Orlovsky's poor choice in food, his defunct taste buds. Coming up next, we will show you an Olympian who decided to get there off the strength of one of the most prestigious snacks on planet Earth. We will get you that next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golick Jr., the podcast.
Everyone on this show wants to try me. It was all a dream, and then they lay out to see if I know. Come on. That's so, like, 2020. It's Janae and Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Yeah, I'm going to just give that whole time. If you were here with us on Janae and Golick Jr., I'm just going to leave that to 2020, okay? Janae Ogunbowale and Mike Golick Jr. Now, before we get to the snacks, right, that made its way to the great stage, we want to say thank you to everyone who joined us today. ESPN NBA front office insider Bobby Marks, one of my favorite people who I did radio with late at night, NBA insiders. He joined us today in the first hour to talk about, my goodness, Ben Simmons and his impending future, his growth, his evolution, hopefully, and also the potential rule changes in the NBA. We also were joined by Pro Football Hall of Fame quarterback Warren Moon. Everyone, if you can, go check out our podcast, Janae and Golick Jr., out wherever you listen to your podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review. And please listen to what Warren Moon said after Carl Nassib became the first active NFL player to come out as gay. Please go back to the podcast and listen to that. So much insight into the evolution of locker rooms and also how his experience as a black quarterback helped him understand the difficulty and also the importance of Carl Nassib's announcement. And we all know that we've been talking about it all show. Game two tonight. We had Mark Jones just join us. So much fun. Talk about that heat, baby, in Phoenix. And also the need, the needs of the Clippers ahead of their matchup tonight at 8:30 on ESPN Radio. So all those conversations happened today. Check out our podcast. Support us. But now, time to get down to business. Let's keep that same energy, baby.
We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Goldie Jr.
See, Junior, they're just out here playing with my feelings and emotions because I put them on blast for trying to make fun of me. And now they're like, hey, Hank. Is that Hank or I got it wrong?
Yes, no, this is Hank. I was just trying to make sure and buy our staff some time that we also had another guest on the show today. Our pug Hank has been down here the last 2 days that I've been in South Bend. He understands he has a very important job to do. And so he just wanted to say hi to everybody.
Hi, Hank. Hank is so cute. Like, super cute.
He's a very handsome man. He's a very good boy. And he's been hanging out right next to me the whole show. So I wanted to let everybody see him on ESPN Plus. Keeping that same energy, though, for the very good boy, Hanky.
Oh, stop that, please.
We know this show is about a lot of things here. Certainly dogs are one of them, but snacks are also another one here. And that's why we must support an Olympic queen herself. Christina Clemens had an idea. She was shopping around the day before in a potential Olympic qualifying race in the 100-meter hurdles, and she wandered over to a Hot Topic and saw a pair of Cool Ranch Doritos earrings for $8. She laid down the $8 because, to quote her, "I love Doritos, and they matched my uniform." She went on to come in third place in the hunt by a hundredth of a second to claim the final spot on the U.S. Olympic team in the 100-meter hurdles, and she did it as an icon with Cool Ranch Doritos earrings, which, Janae, I'm sure we can all agree are the premier and preeminent flavor of Doritos that she has supported on her way and on her achievement of her Olympic dreams.
My goodness, she wore the mini bag of Doritos and is probably going to get a huge bag of Doritos. You know what I mean? And also, Junior, Cool Ranch, number two. Nacho cheese, don't mess with the original, number one.
Ooh, I mean, like, listen, I understand we do like to pay homage to the people and the things that have paved the way for other stuff, but, man, we got to acknowledge that there is just something unique about that tang right at the end of the Cool Ranch. Like, it's a flavor wave that you ride, and it stays with you, I think, a little bit further onto the beach than its nacho cheese, brother.
Maybe. All right, whatever.
But I digress. Keeping that same energy, Chinee. We did want to also celebrate this moment. We know so much conversation as you guys played the New York Liberty not too long ago about the inaugural game of the WNBA, the 25th anniversary of that game, and thought it was pretty exciting. We saw the throwback jerseys from you and a lot of your teammates heading into that game here, you and NECA showing up and showing out before the opening tip. But we also want to shout out, we saw this from the Jordan brand the other day in honor of the 25th anniversary of the WNBA's inaugural game. Jordan proud to announce its largest female roster ever, a group of 11 all-black women as a part of this league, a group, as they said, inspiring women whose impact extends far beyond the court and who continue to prove that they are here for a reason. And Chinee, I think all of this celebration that we've seen around the W heading into this 25th season, acknowledging that game, has been really great to see.
Yeah, I mean, we just want people to not just say, oh, I support, but actually do something. And we're seeing Jordan, Michael Jordan, and his family. I believe his daughter is a big part of this push. Really just doing it with their actions. And so, yeah, two of my teammates are part of it. And your new friend is part of that Jordan family. So I love us showing representation in the highest level.
I can say shout out to my new friend from my left coast trip, the Canadian, Kian Nurse, hanging out there as a part of all of this. But keeping that same energy, Chinee, we got to wrap this up on Snap Talk here. And just again, ask you to lift up our friend Dan Orlovsky in prayer, ESPN NFL analyst. He's doing all right. His taste buds just don't work quite right because he said potato chips are gross and that tortilla chips are only for dipping and not scooping.
He doesn't even like salt.
Chinee, there's no helping this man. And you know what? I've seen online our colleague Mina Kimes extend the olive branch to Dan to try and get him into a Korean barbecue. So we all got to do our part to help Dan taste better food. Chanae, are you committed to this to help on our friend Dan Orlovsky?
I'm going to trick that man. I'm going to put a whole bunch of seasoning in. I'm just saying, like, this is bland. Just try it. And his whole life is going to change.
I want to bottle and sell that moment where Dan finally sees the light and his eyes are open to the saving light of flavor in his world. Spain and Fitz up next for your flavor on ESPN.
Thanks for listening to Chanae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.